When your eyesight is at stake, it pays to travel to one of the world's leading eye surgeons. Dr. Johnny Gayton is an author, speaker, Christian leader, and a renowned surgical eye expert. Whether it's cataracts, PRK, LASIK, or implanted lenses, when only the best is needed, see Dr. Johnny Gayton at EyesightAssociates.com.
This is Robbie Dillmore from the Christian Car Guy and Kingdom Pursuit, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. Your chosen Truth Network podcast is starting in just a few seconds. Enjoy it and share it. But most of all, thank you for listening and for choosing the Truth Podcast Network.
This is the Truth Network.
This is the United States champion.
He became my personal savior.
Ladies and gentlemen, the following contest is set for one fall. Introducing first, from Lithuania, he weighs 123 kilos, the Russian Nightmare, Nikita Koloff.
Now, the Devil's Nightmare. Welcome back to another episode of It's Time to Man Up. Welcome back to another episode, The Man Up Show. It's time to man up with yours truly, the Russian Nightmare, Nikita Koloff. And I'm excited today to have with me Steve Platia. Steve, welcome to The Man Up Show.
Thank you, Nikita. It's a pleasure.
Well, you know, and this, of course, the show is called, it you know, The Man Up, or It's Time to Man Up. And, you know, we met not long ago. I was blessed at the opportunity to break some bread with you over the Thanksgiving holiday. And we really had the opportunity to really spend several hours together. And, you know, when I was listening to your story, I thought, you know what? I need to get him on the show, because I think our listeners would appreciate hearing more about you. And so let's just take a minute or two here, though, and introduce our listeners to who Steve Platia is. Give our listeners some background here.
Okay. I basically am what I consider to be a marketplace minister. I've worked in a lot of different roles in my career. Started out in the nuclear Navy, and then from there went to the energy sector, and now in oil and gas for the last 15 years or so. And that's kind of what I do vocationally, but it's also what I consider to be my ministry. And I was able to share a little bit of that with you during Thanksgiving dinner and a conversation afterward. Quite a revelation for me. Feeling called to ministry, that my ministry is actually in the marketplace.
Well,
so that's kind of,
yeah. And I know you've had 40 plus years, right? In terms of what you would call marketplace ministry. Certainly want to delve a little bit more into that, but tell us about family. Tell us about you. I know you live in the Carolinas. Are you a native of the Carolinas, or give us a little backstory there?
Sure. No, I'm not native to the Carolinas. I was born and raised in New Jersey. And then right after high school is when I transitioned into the Navy. And I've lived a lot of different places just because of where my training's taken me, and Navy in general. And then I'm married. That happened along the way.
Right, right.
Met my wife while I was in the Navy as well. And got married shortly after leaving the Navy. She's got a huge family up around Washington, D.C. area. So after the Navy, I was stationed in Charleston while in the Navy. And then we spent some time in Newport News, where my wife Ann and I actually met. And then after the Navy, we relocated up to Washington, D.C. area. So lived in Maryland for about 8 or 9 years. We moved out to Tulsa, Oklahoma on a job promotion for me. And we were out there for 20 years. Raised one daughter. and she's still living in Tulsa today. She liked it so much that when we moved over into the Carolinas again, she decided to stay out there, and that's where she lives and works now.
Well, and I know, you know, when we were breaking bread together, you know, of course your wife was sharing some of her story about how, you know, her version of how you guys met. And then of course we got your version as well. And I found it fascinating, because help refresh my memory. Was it kind of a blind date? Is that how you guys initially met?
Yeah, it was a blind date. One of my best friends on board the boat was dating her best friend from high school. And so there was a lot of conversation back and forth between them about, and them arranging for Ann and I to meet. And so that's how we met. And it was quite the blind date, I would say. And that's kind of how we met.
Because she knew, correct me if I'm wrong, but you know, she was somewhat hesitant or somewhat leery to even, you know, go along with this. But all that to say, she had kind of a dream or a vision there, or at least the Lord speak to her and say, you know, like this is your future husband or something. It's something to something to that effect, right? But she didn't tell you that, but the Lord told her that. And then I found it kind of funny because like you were trying to like reach out to her and call her and she wasn't returning your calls. And because she comes from a huge family, right?
Yes. She has 12 brothers and sisters.
Right. 12. So, yes. That's what I thought. I remember. I'm like, wow, like 12 brothers and sisters. Right. So you're calling, leaving messages, but I'm guessing you're wondering, okay, are these messages even getting through or getting to her? Right.
Yeah. So we, after the first date, and that you were right, she had an open vision, what she called an open vision. So she had an encounter when we first met where she saw me and had that open vision that I was going to be the guy she was going to marry. And I'm so glad she used God's wisdom by not telling me that at that point, not revealing that to me. Hmm. Because I'm obviously that was something that was personal for her and she had to work through it with the Lord. You know, and I probably didn't have a framework. I know I wouldn't have had a framework at that point to process it and understand it. And it possibly could have freaked me out. So, we went on the first date and it was a very successful date and we had a great conversation and stuff. So, but I did try to contact her for close to a month afterward without any response. For her just having that big family, it's like I would call her telephone number and I don't even know who these people are that are answering the phone.
Right, right.
And if that message is going to get to her, that, you know, to call me.
And then at some point, if I remember her story, her side of the story, at some point, though, she was like, or the Lord was like, hey, you might want to like return one of these. This is my version of it anyway. You might want to return his call because like that door is going to close if you don't return, right? Something to that effect, right?
Yeah, I think that's the exact words that she used when she shared it, was that the Lord was warning her that if you don't contact me, the door's getting ready to close.
Yeah, so.
I think so, yeah.
So fast forward, how many years later from that first date?
So that first date was 1985. Would have been right after her 21st birthday. Would have been February of 1985.
So here you guys are almost 40 years later.
Getting close.
Right? Did I do the math right on that?
Yeah.
Almost 40 years later from that initial blind date, right? And yeah. No, it's just, it's just such a, to me anyway, such a fascinating story. It's just such a God story, how the Lord, you know, from that initial vision from the Lord, here you are all these years later, and God has fulfilled that vision. And so So you've moved around. You've lived in a number of different places. Do you have, like, you're in the Carolinas now? Is there at this point a favorite? Like, did you enjoy living in Oklahoma more than Maryland, or the Carolinas more than Oklahoma, or do you have a favorite spot?
Favorite spot? I could really. What's in my heart is that wherever he calls me to, I'm going to enjoy it. You know what I mean?
Okay.
I'm going to be content there. However, we all have preferences, right? I mean, that's kind of what seems like maybe you're driving at. And for me, each location where we've lived has been unique for certain reasons. But I mean, talking about geography and just, you know, locale, I love the beach. Anywhere around the beach. So Charleston was a great fit. We actually lived on Folly Beach for a couple of years. A block and a half off the water, and to me it was awesome. Ann's more of a mountain person, and so Tulsa had none of that.
Right.
Tulsa really had neither of that.
Oklahoma's pretty, as I recall, fairly flat, right? If I remember
flat
right.
And windy, hot and cold.
So, Tornado Alley. Isn't that called Tornado Alley or something, Oklahoma?
Right.
Well,
right.
Yeah. So, talk about, so both of you, yeah. So there were, yeah. So you're not, there's not ocean or mountains.
No, but here's the thing. So he did call us out there from Maryland, and it was really a God move for us. Although we probably didn't fully understand all of it, but Tulsa, I feel, is where we gained some spiritual maturity.
Mm.
Because Tulsa, you know, has a rich history and faith movement. Word of Faith movement has rich history and teaching and biblical understanding through several ministries out there. Obviously, Oral Roberts is there. The Hagans are out there. You know, T.L. Osborne spent some time out there. So there is such a rich faith and learning and teaching history out there. It was like a gold mine for us, really. And so I really feel like over those 20 years, we made significant strides in our in our healing, in our ministry operation type stuff. My music started in earnest at that point. And so it was a big step for us. And like Ann said, she shared before, she felt like we were going to stay there the rest of our life, but God, you know, God has different things for different seasons. And so one of those things was us moving to the Carolinas where we're at now.
And I think you hit on something though, especially for our listeners out there. I really didn't mean to interrupt you, but it's in my head, you know, you talked about, you know, you've learned to, you know, kind of wherever you've lived, you know, be content in that moment, right? And you know, just reminded, it's like Paul, right? You know, talking about, you know, I've abounded, I've been abased, he's about top of the mountain and down in the valley, but he's learned to be content in all things, and so. Is that something, or would that be something that that you would say or emphasize to our listeners right?
Yeah, I mean, if anybody had the justification to complain, it would have been Paul, right? I mean, this guy went everywhere and faced the most serious challenges, probably outside of Jesus. On this earth, you know, beaten, flogged, you know, practically drowned,
stoned, left for dead.
Right. And so if we take that as a model, that's one part of the one aspect of us understanding our calling and where God's leading us to. The other thing I think, Nikita, that I see a lot, and I want this to be an encouragement and not an indictment. One of the things I see a lot in people in general and in the walk of faith is trying to understand their destiny. which I know can be very confusing, you know, in the way it's explained and parsed, but there seems to be a tremendous amount of angst in the body around destiny. But I think it's very simple. I think our destiny is in Christ Jesus. Now, what we do and what we're called to do, that's seasonal to me. So he takes us through these seasons where he teaches us. He matures us by exposing us and taking us through situations and trials and experiences. But the bottom line of all that is we have to keep our eyes focused on the cross. We have to keep our eyes focused on Jesus. That is our destiny. And so that's kind of the way I parse it in my mind, to help me be content wherever he's called me to. So I think a lot of folks can release that confusion and that angst, just not take it on, just not accept it.
You're listening to the Truth Network and TruthNetwork.com.
Nikita Koloff here, and I am excited. Did you hear the huge announcement? The big announcement. Well, maybe it's a minor announcement. Anyway, Facebook, go look up my new fan page, Nikita Koloff Fans, and like it and follow today. Many people often ask me, is Nikita Koloff your real name? Well, I have news for you. Now you can get the whole story on my audiobook, Nikita, A Tale of the Ring of Redemption, narrated in my own voice, gaining all perspective and insight into my whole life, including my redemption.
Would your company, business, or you personally like to partner with me in supporting Koloff for Christ Ministries, The Man Up Show, and Man Up Minutes? Go to koloff.net and click the donate button. You can give monthly, annually, or one time. God bless you for making a difference around the world.
If you would like to support Koloff for Christ Ministries, for a gift of $25, Nikita will send you his two CDs, Adoration and Declaration. For a gift of $50, Nikita will include his book, Wrestling with Success. And for a gift of $100 or more, Nikita will include a signed copy of his newly updated life story, A Tale of the Ring and Redemption. Go to www.koloff.net. and donate today.
You're listening to the Truth Network and TruthNetwork.com.
Yeah, I think that's a great perspective in because there are, I agree, there's a lot of people, you know, because I have people, and I'm sure you do too, or, you know, they'll say, you know, I just wish I knew my, you know, my purpose, or I wish I knew God's plan for my life, or you know, the word destiny, right? I wish I knew.
Yeah.
But I think you really, I think that's very, should be very helpful to some of our listeners out there, that if you approach it in that respect, and then understand that whatever it is you're doing, like you consider like your vocation, you know, you use the term marketplace ministry, right? And really everything's a ministry, right? Whether you're raising a family or you're working out in the marketplace, you're pastoring, shepherding a church, or you're on staff at a church. You know, I think sometimes, too, there can be some confusion or separation between the marketplace and the church itself, right?
Right?
Not understanding that really, in my view, that should be, you know, kind of one, all one and the same. In other words, the fact that you're not on staff at a church and or out there, you know, working, earning the living, you know, whether it's, you know, you've had a variety of roles, right? You know, I'm looking at some of your background, you know, the nuclear Navy, oil, gas, energy, renewable energy, manufacturing, you know, working as a project manager, or working, you know, serving in different facets and functions out there in the marketplace. But that's a ministry in and of itself, right? I mean, you have an opportunity every day to be salt and light to the world, right?
Every single day. Yep, absolutely.
every single day. And I just want to encourage you. You know, I like what you said. I don't want this to be an indictment. I want this to be an encouragement. So, and I want it to be an encouragement for anyone out there listening that, you know, even as you're, you know, as you're listening to Steve's story, you know, regardless of your background, whether you're out there in the marketplace or, you know, you're at home. I mean, I've got, you know, two of my daughters who are at home raising babies. And you know, that's if in a sense, if you want to say that's their vocation, right? You know, they have business backgrounds. You know, one was a nurse and one graduated, you know, from college with a business degree, but have yet chosen to stay home and raise those babies, and which is a full-time job in and of itself, right? And so so regardless of your background or your chosen profession, you know, just realize, you know, it's all ministry, and as you have said, Steve, you can be fulfilling destiny and just view the other things you're doing as, I like to say it this way, Steve, as assignments. Like, you know, I have a radio show, right? I have a ministry called Call Off for Christ Ministries. We do these camps called Man Camp. I do these conferences. I write books and, you know, I do all these different things. But to me, those are all just assignments. At the end of the day, my relationship with Jesus Christ is, as you said, is our destiny, right?
That's correct. Yeah, that's what I believe. You know, Paul says in Romans 12, verse 1, right? He says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. And what I think he's really saying there is that our holiness walk, our walk with him, our submission to him really is our true and proper worship to him. And so it's how we carry ourselves, no matter where we're at, that is the key to this thing. So that's kind of another verse I camp out on quite a bit.
Well, and speaking of worship, I want to segue that right into this. Speaking of worship, you are a worship musician, or you term yourself, I mean, a singer, songwriter. Now, so you've been in marketplace ministry for 40 plus years, but you've been a singer songwriter for 20 plus years. And in fact, I know in 2013 you released an album, and you're working on another one as we speak. I know you host a monthly worship gathering there in your home, right? So you just open your home. You told me you had like 50 plus people, like over the years, that have from other nations, right, that have come and visited your home on from month to month just to experience, have that worship experience, right?
Yeah. So my wife and I felt the call to host a home worship event a couple of years back. And so we did it one time without really knowing, you know, what it would turn into. And then it was probably 3 or 4 months later, we felt like we need to be doing this, you know, on a more regular basis. And so we opened up our home and, you know, we're on Facebook as a closed group with over 50 people in that group. But, you know, from month to month, it's always different, but different people show up from month to month. And we have had some people that have traveled from an international type ministry assignments and come into the house and worship with us. And we've had opportunities to pray and prophesy over them as a group. And, it's just amazing what God does during those times of worship, because we're just totally open to what the Holy Spirit wants to do. So there's no, the only format we have is basically we're going to fellowship up front for a while, and then we're going to transition into worship. And it's just been amazing because, you know, when the Holy Spirit starts moving, nobody wants to leave, right? I mean, the presence is so thick and wonderful that what normally we would have scheduled for 3 hours has gone up to 6 hours before, where we've been in that environment, that presence, his presence for 6 hours.
Yeah. Nothing like basking in the presence of the Lord, right?
But it's amazing because it doesn't feel like 6 hours either.
Right. No, I
know, it's just like,
right.
Yeah.
I get that. I understand that too. There've been times I've been just caught up in his presence and looked at the clock and went, it felt like 5 minutes and it had been 5 hours, right? So like for real.
Amazing.
Now, hey, before we run out of time, I want to mention this as well, because you started a new hobby recently related to music, and I was really intrigued by this. You've taken up the hobby of light woodcrafting and you're making hardwood guitar picks. And some uniquely, you had some that you showed us there at the dinner table, and I'm like, man, I want to get the word out for Steve. I want to let people know that he's making these guitar picks, and because your heart is just your heart so genuine and pure in my view, and but you want to use that kind of as a way to even fund some of the other things you're doing, right? Take a minute before we run out of time. Take a minute here and talk about your making these guitar picks.
Yeah, so my dad, I inherited a bunch of woodworking tools from my dad earlier in the year, and I've never done woodworking, and he was getting rid of tools, and he's kind of at that point in his life where he realized he's not going to do too much more and wanted to bless me with some tools. And so I gladly received those from him, and I thought, what am I going to do here? And one thing led to another, some inspiration, and I thought, I wonder if I can make some wood guitar picks. I really was just going to do it for myself, but then I thought, back to an earlier conversation I had with Lord about funding my recording project, where I heard him say, go make some money. And I don't know what that meant, right? I mean, so I'm waiting for guidance and I'm praying to him, you know, waiting for streams of income to open up or whatnot. And then the stream of creativity comes. Really is what it is to me. It's just another creative endeavor with the Lord, inspired by the Lord, to make these handcrafted hardwood guitar picks. And that's where we're going. And so like there's one stream, possible stream to fund a recording project. And so that's what I'm starting to do.
Well, and I love it. And I'm like, I'm not musically inclined per se. Like I remember trying to play guitar, like, you know, I think I was a younger kid. And I'm like, this hurts my fingertips. I think I'll play football, you know, but so I really, as much as I appreciate those who are gifted and talented to play guitar, play a piano, a violin or anything else. So, all right. So where could, if people wanted to either support you or at least find out more, like, man, how can I get some of these guitar? Is there a website or Steve, where can they go to find out more? Facebook or where can they go?
Yeah, so I've opened up an Etsy shop, you know, online.
Okay.
It's just Steve's Picks. No apostrophes and no spaces. Steve's Picks.
Okay.
On Etsy, and I've got them for sale out there. I'm on Facebook too, obviously, personal page. I don't have a business page set up or anything like that, but I do post on there, links on there sometimes to my picks and photos of my newest pick creation. So that's where they can get a hold of them.
Well, and I think it's I think it's amazing, you know, just many different ways that I'm going to go back to kind of something we were referencing earlier, many different ways we can fulfill our destiny, many different avenues in which to do that, and using your creativity, like making guitar picks, is simply one of the many ways, or opening your home, you know, to others to come and worship and experience and encounter Jesus in that regard. And phenomenal, just a fascinating story, Steve. I appreciate you being on the show today, and look forward to seeing how God continues to use you and Ann here in the future.
Thank you, Nikki. It's been a real pleasure and honor to get to talk with you and share some stories.
Well, and for all of you out there in listening land, I hope that you were somewhat inspired by Steve's story today, Marketplace Ministry. So maybe you're out there, working a J-O-B and thinking, how can I impact God's kingdom? Well, just go out and be salt and light. Just go out and love on your coworkers. You know, a customer comes through the door, you know, be friendly, put a smile on your face, right? Love on them. Maybe you have some special talents, like you can play guitar, or, you know, you've maybe had aspirations to be a songwriter and have yet to do it, or you sing, or maybe you can make guitar picks like Steve. Go check out his, and we appreciate each and every week when you dial into the Man Up Show and help spread the word and let others know that there are inspirational stories out there. And I hope today you go out and live a God-filled, God-blessed day. This podcast is made possible by the grace of God and your faithful prayers, support, and generous gifts. May God bless you for your continual contributions. Go to koloff.net and donate today. If you are enjoying the Man Up Show, would you help us spread the word? Tell your family, tell your friends, tell your neighbors to download, subscribe, and leave a comment. Hi, Nikita Koloff. Be sure to check out the Man Up Show, now available on television, broadcast, and podcast. Go to MorningstarTV.com or the Truth Radio Network. Check out your local listings, or better yet, download the Truth Network app today. Nikita Koloff here. If you're needing to buy a car and have marginal credit and considering using Buy Here, Pay Here, that's worse than taking the Russian sickle. Winston-Salem Motor Cars will put you behind the wheel of a car you can rely on while helping rebuild, repair, or establish your credit score. Conveniently located on Silas Creek Parkway in Winston-Salem, be sure to check them out today at WSMC1.com, because you are number one.
This is the Truth Network.